Congratulations to the high school graduates. I'm with you. We're praying for you. Mostly that God would be working in your life as you take this next step, because the statistics are pretty poor as it relates to young people that leave, and then, you know, they not just leave for school, but sometimes their walk of faith becomes difficult or challenging. And so we're praying that you would stay strong in the Lord as you, you know, take this next step in your adventure of life. I was talking to one graduate earlier, and I was asking him, what are your plans now that you've graduated from high school? And they said, well, I plan to go to work at KFC. And out of curiosity, I said, well, what makes you want to do that? And they said, it's on my bucket list. Okay, I just made that up. That's not true. All right, as we get into the message today, I want to remind you that last week we laid a foundation for what's to come over the next few weeks. The foundation is that Jesus never changes, okay? And that comes from Hebrews 13:8. Easy verse to memorize. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So that means the purpose of Jesus, the person of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the promises of Jesus, they never change. They're the same from before creation on into eternity. And so we're going to look at, in the next few weeks, different aspects of Jesus' purpose and ministry and life, and how they were true when Jesus was here on earth, but they're also true for us. You know why? Because Jesus never changes. Okay? And so, and I really feel like these next few weeks are really important. I feel like the Holy Spirit really spoke to me in a special way, that the messages for the next few weeks are really seeds for revival. And, you know, if you've ever planted a seed, matter of fact, I put some things in my garden yesterday. If you planted seeds recently, they don't just immediately spring up and bear fruit. It takes time. It takes attention. So I just want to encourage you, pay attention these next few weeks, you know, to the messages, but also beyond the messages in your own personal walk with Christ. If you'll just pay some attention, do some watering, do some tilling, do some fertilizing, I think that God's Spirit can refresh you. And you can come to a fresher place of having your walk with Christ encouraged. The goal is to exercise our faith and to have God reveal to us in a new way, and to release these aspects of Jesus' ministry into our lives personally, into our church, into our community. And being that this is Pentecost Sunday, in case you didn't know, today is Pentecost Sunday, we're going to look at Jesus, one aspect of his ministry, a description of his purpose, is that he was baptizer. So we're going to look at that aspect of Jesus' purpose and ministry. Now, the reason we do that on Pentecost Sunday, little background information first. The Feast of Pentecost is a Jewish feast, sometimes called the Feast of Weeks, because it was set up for 7 weeks, starting the day after the Passover. So if you go from the Passover to Pentecost Sunday, it's 50 days. And the Greek word pente is 50. So that's why they call it Pentecost. 50 days after Passover, Pentecost. So the Jews today, this day, May 23rd, 2021, are celebrating now the Feast of Pentecost. Well, guess what? Jesus' followers are also celebrating Pentecost, because it was on the day of Pentecost that God poured his Holy Spirit out onto the church. And Jesus baptized his followers on Pentecost Sunday in the book of Acts. We'll read about it today. And it was the birthday of the church. So happy birthday, church. It was born on Pentecost Sunday. And matter of fact, we can see where John the Baptist, kind of in a prophetic way, refers to Jesus as the baptizer in Luke chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. It says, the people were waiting expectantly. Okay, put a pin in that for a second. If you're waiting on God, this is the attitude you should have. Expectantly. Like something's going to happen. I've been praying that expectation would be like pregnant in the room today because God wants to do something good. The people were waiting expectantly, and they were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ, John the Baptist. And John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And we see the fulfillment of this in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came. And that reminded me earlier that there's a music group way back when I was a teenager in early 20s, the second chapter of Acts. Anybody remember the second chapter of Acts? Okay, you are old. Go back and listen to some of their music. It's awesome. You know, they named themselves the second chapter of Acts because that's when the Holy Spirit came, was the second chapter of Acts. Check it out, Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. "And when the day of Pentecost came," so this is the Feast of Pentecost. This is in Jerusalem. The town, the city of Jerusalem would have been filled with many Jewish people that had come to celebrate this feast. The disciples of Jesus were in the upper room. There's 120 of them. They're praying. They're waiting expectantly for God to do something. And this is what happens. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." And this fulfilled the prophetic word of the prophet Joel in the Old Testament and John the Baptist. This was the fulfillment. Jesus was the baptizer. This is the day that it happened. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus still did that today? Wouldn't it be great if Jesus was still the baptizer? Because it wasn't a one-time occurrence in the second chapter of Acts. We'll read about other occurrences further on in Acts. Jesus baptized people in the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it be great if he still did that today? Well, guess what? Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And this is still an aspect of the purpose and ministry of Jesus Christ, even from heaven, sending the Holy Spirit to his people. Now, I could teach on the Holy Spirit for 50 weeks, let alone 50 days, but we're going to do it in one day, about 30 minutes. We're going to have you out of here with a teaching on the Holy Spirit. So I'm only going to focus on the very basics. You can go much deeper than where I'm going to go today. So just 2 points today. When does the Holy Spirit come? And then secondly, why does the Holy Spirit come? What do we need the Holy Spirit for? So here's the first point. When does the Holy Spirit come? Well, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given selectively and temporarily to indwell certain individuals for special ministries. Okay? So different than how it happens in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Spirit would just come for like on occasions. And you can see that in many different places in the Old Testament, but here's one example. Samuel was anointing Saul, Samuel the prophet, anointing Saul as the leader of the people, and he's prophesying over Saul about a trip that Saul's going to take. And this is what he says in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. Says this over Saul, "As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying." Now check out verse 6. "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you," and this is a description of the Holy Spirit coming upon his people. "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person." Now Saul was not a prophet, but the Spirit came upon him for this occasion, at this time, for a special purpose, in a limited way. And you read about this happening in the Old Testament over and over. You can look in the book of Judges, chapter 14 and 15. We read the story of Samson. And Samson also was periodically given the power of the Holy Spirit, and it gave him supernatural strength. So in the Old Testament, it was temporary, certain individuals for certain purposes. Okay? The next point is the Holy Spirit is received at salvation for all who believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord. So if you came to a point in your life where you asked Jesus to be your Savior and Lord, then you received the Holy Spirit into your life. The Apostle Paul clearly taught that we receive the Holy Spirit the moment we receive Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Matter of fact, in Romans, Paul tells us that if a person does not possess the Holy Spirit, then he does not belong to Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. And Ephesians, Paul teaches that the Holy Spirit comes upon us as believers of Jesus as kind of a seal over our lives, as a deposit that guarantees our inheritance, our eternal life. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit for believers in Jesus comes upon every person when they believe. Now, third point as to the when. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an event that occurs subsequent to accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord. It's an event or an experience that's distinct from salvation, that's separate from salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to be honest with you. This as a doctrine or a principle or a belief is not universally accepted among every evangelical church. Okay? I will say this, in the last few decades, it has enjoyed a much broader acceptance. But the way that I read the Bible and the way that our church approaches the scriptures, we believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an event that's distinct from your salvation, that you can have this experience apart from salvation. First, it maybe helps a little bit to understand the word baptize when the Bible talks about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The word baptize is the Greek word baptizo, okay? And it means to be immersed or submerged or overwhelmed with, okay? So like when we do water baptism, we do it in a tank and we make sure that the person goes under the water because that's what baptism means. It means to be immersed in or submerged or overwhelmed. In water baptism, it's very important because it's a symbolism of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You're identifying with Jesus in water baptism. In Holy Spirit baptism, you know, it's Jesus coming or sending his Spirit in a way that is kind of like being immersed in the Spirit or overwhelmed in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the apostles were certainly followers of Jesus. Right? They had accepted his ministry, and they actually received the Holy Spirit from Jesus prior to the day of Pentecost, because in John 20:21, you can look this up if you want later, Jesus, it says, he breathed on his disciples. Remember after the resurrection? He breathed on his disciples. You remember what he said to them? As he breathed on them, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. So they had a measure of the Spirit, but on the day of Pentecost, matter of fact, let's look in Acts chapter 1 because there's an inference and a reference here that there's something more that you need, okay? You need more than just the Spirit that comes at salvation. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. On one occasion while he was eating with them, okay, this is Jesus eating with his disciples after the resurrection, This is a post-resurrection encounter. He gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's almost as though Jesus were thinking about those words that John the Baptist said. Right? John baptized with water, but in a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we see one of these subsequent baptisms in Acts chapter 8. The gospel had already been preached in Samaria. It had been received and embraced in Samaria. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says this, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. You see, there's something more they need there. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. The Holy Spirit was in them, but hadn't come upon them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not going to read it, but you can flip to Acts chapter 19 and the first 7 verses. This is Paul going to Ephesus, and they had embraced the gospel in Ephesus. And Paul asked them the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when the gospel was preached to you? And they said, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And Paul enlightened them, and he prayed for them. He laid hands on them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. An event that occurs subsequent to accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So, here's the when. Old Testament, specific times for specific reasons. New Testament, every believer, when they come to Christ, receives a measure of the Spirit. But also, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is another event that we can look forward to. That's the when. So here's the why. And it's very, very practical. Why do we need this extra measure of the Spirit in our lives? Well, I've got 3 C's for you. Okay, and the first one is conviction. That's conviction of our sinfulness and need for a Savior. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. So, I want to tell you a story about when I was just a young kid, maybe 8 or 9 years old. My family was very blessed. We had a cabin on a lake, and we would move out to that cabin every week on Memorial Day weekend, so next weekend would be our weekend, and our whole family would move out to this cabin on Schultz Lake, just north of Duluth, and we'd stay there all summer until Labor Day weekend, then we'd move back to town, okay? And our cabin was fully furnished. We just kind of basically had to bring our clothes and whatever, and we had, in the living room of the cabin, we had one of those console TVs. Do you remember back when TVs were really like a piece of furniture? Anybody remember that? Okay, you are old. TVs used to be like a piece of furniture, not just a big rectangle you'd put on your wall, okay? And I don't know what possessed me, but one day, again, I was about 8 or 9, I found a nail or a really sharp needle or something, and I scratched in the top of the console TV, I love Daddy. Now, I grew up in a big family, 7 kids. My parents kind of got us together, and they were like, who scratched I Love Daddy in the top of the TV? I denied it. Now, my brother Mike, he's younger than me, about 6 years younger, so probably he was home free. He couldn't spell I Love Daddy. But I had 2 sisters that were just a little older than me. It could have been Rosie, could have been Kathy, could have been Hollis, could have been Rosie, could have been Kathy. I denied it all the way into my teen years and my early 20s. I didn't do that. Finally, one night we were having some family time together, and I don't know, we were talking about things we did bad when we were younger or something, and something came upon me, and this whole thing of I Love Daddy came to my mind, and I just blurted it out. I said, I did it! I scratched I Love Daddy in the TV. It was like conviction came upon me. Okay, here's a side story. I know a couple of Mike's kids are here this morning, my brother Mike. I don't know if Mike is here, because I'd sure love to point him out if he was. I was texting with Mike earlier in the week, because I wanted to get this story straight, okay? And so we were texting back and forth, and Mike texts me, he says, I have a confession to make. On our house on Allegheny Street in Piedmont Heights, I drew a picture inside one of the closets, and I signed your name at the bottom. I forgave him. Okay, this is an illustration, you know, a humorous illustration. God can come and bring conviction into our lives, and we need God's convicting power to come into our lives. We do. And this is a ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. It's actually a gift from God. You read about it in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 7 to 9. Jesus is talking here, and he says, unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, listen to what he'll do. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment, in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. Can I tell you what? We all, as human beings, have blind spots. All of us probably have areas of our heart that kind of get hard and crusted, and we need the supernatural work of God to come into our lives, into our minds, and to reveal things to us that we can't necessarily see on our own. It's conviction from God. It's actually a gift from God. I remember, you know, when I came to the Lord, I grew up in a very religious home, and I went to parochial school. And I knew the content of the gospel. But there was parts of me in my head or in my heart that were just blinded to the real message that I was a sinner that really needed a personal savior. And, you know, I've told my testimony many times, but there was that one evening in September of 1976 in a Bible study when God's Spirit was working on me. And for the first time ever, I could see it as clear as day. I was a sinner that needed a savior. And you see, the Holy Spirit revealed to me the depth of my need and the depth of my sin. But here's the good news. At the same time, he revealed to me the depth of God's love and his willingness to forgive me. And it was so deep and so strong and so real that it has lasted for my lifetime as I accepted Christ as my Savior that day. That was the Holy Spirit of God in a supernatural way, opening my eyes and softening my heart. Even as Christ followers, we need those experiences today, because there may be an area of your life where you could really use supernatural conviction. And those are the times when change, by the grace of God and with the help of God, can really happen. That's why we need the Spirit, for conviction. Here's the next C. The next C is counsel. It's for when we need wisdom and direction. And can I say, at a deeper level, when we just really need a revelation of God's truth? This is a gift of the Spirit described by Jesus as he talks about the Spirit as the Counselor that would come in John 14. By the way, the word Counselor that Jesus uses is the Greek word parakletos. And literally translated, it means the one who comes alongside. You could use the word advocate. As a matter of fact, I don't know if we have any lawyers in the room, but that would be the same word for attorney, the one that comes and is your advocate in life. But it's also the revealer of truth. Listen to how Jesus talks about it in John 14, 26. He says this, but when the Counselor, the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, when he comes, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Jesus has the same thing in mind in John 16:13, Jesus says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So in a world where we are confronted with multiple truths, right? This is the truth, and this is the truth, and this is the truth. There can only be one truth. We need the Holy Spirit of God to reveal that truth to us so that we can walk in step with the Spirit, so that we can align our lives with the truth of God. And it's revealed to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is good for when you need to make a decision, when you need wisdom, when you need counsel from the counselor with a capital C. James has the same idea in mind in James 1:5. This is very practical. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. The practical application there is if you need wisdom or direction, if you're making an important decision, if you're discovering truth in your life spiritually, ask God to send the counselor, the Holy Spirit. So, the why of the Holy Spirit is conviction, counselor, and here's the last C, kaboom. Okay? Now, I know kaboom doesn't start with C, but it had to start with C because my 3 points started with C. And it's power. That's what it is. You see the stick of dynamite there? When the book of Acts says the Holy Spirit will come in power, it's the Greek word dunamis. It's the same word where we get our word dynamite. It's like an explosion. Okay? And that is one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit of God, is to bring power into our lives. So here's the last point, kaboom, power for witnessing and to live a godly life. We need power that's beyond ourselves in order to live our lives for Jesus Christ, in order to be an effective witness for Jesus. We need supernatural power. Now, growing up, my dad had a Plymouth Fury 1967, and actually he gave me that car shortly after I turned 16, so here I was, a 16-year-old kid, I had my own car. But it wasn't long after he gave it to me, the power steering went out. This was like a giant car, okay? They don't make them like this hardly anymore. And it had a 318, you know, 8-cylinder motor in it. And, I mean, it was hard to turn that thing without power steering. And, you know, my dad gave me the car, but he didn't give me the money to fix the power steering. So he said, you got to fix that yourself. And so I had to drive that car for a while without power steering. You know what that's like? Especially if you got to, like, parallel park. Hello? You see, when the power steering's working, I can just use one finger. It's power assist. We need that kind of power in our lives to live for Jesus, to be a witness for Jesus. And here's the amazing thing. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes, the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes, to empower you, to gift you, to help you, to strengthen you. You see, Jesus' final instructions to his apostles, do you remember the Great Commission? It's in 3 of the 4 Gospels. Jesus' words were, therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But you know what else Jesus said after he was raised from the dead? Because he said the go therefore before he died. But you know what he said after he died? Wait. I know I told you go, but wait. Wait until you receive power, because you're going to need the power. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. Here it is. This is Jesus speaking after the resurrection. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. By the way, that day's still coming. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, you will receive dunamis. You'll receive dynamite. You'll receive kaboom when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So here's my question for you. How's your power? You feel like it's sufficient? You feel like you could use just a little extra, maybe a refreshing or a refueling or a refilling of power? Power was released on the day of Pentecost. We read it earlier. Let's read it one more time. Acts chapter 2. This was the occasion. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. This was the 120 in the upper room. Suddenly, the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then Peter, who was in that room, Peter the coward, really. I mean, I hate to say that. Peter, the one who denied his Savior three times and abandoned him. Jesus was hanging on the cross. Where was Peter? He's hiding somewhere. Peter, who abandoned his ministry and went back to fishing, even after Jesus appeared to him in resurrected form, Peter goes back to fishing. That same Peter, when he received the power of the Holy Spirit, left that upper room, and Jerusalem was filled with people because it was the Pentecost. And he goes out and begins to boldly preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And 3,000 people respond. Listen, I'm happy if one person responds in a service here. 3,000 people respond and become Christians that day. It was the birthday of the church. This was a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Now, we believe in our church that God's Spirit still works in supernatural ways. This isn't a gift that God has somehow retracted, okay? In Acts chapter 4, the Apostle Peter, in referencing the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, says, this promise is for you, those that were listening to him, and for your children, and for their children, and for as many as the Lord your God shall call. I'm one of those. 2,000 years later, the promise is for you. We have a helpful pamphlet that we put together that's been around for a long time. I didn't do this, but it is good. It's called Baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's on our kiosk. And if you have sort of questions or you want to go a little deeper and understand what that really means, I'd invite you to pick one of these up. And if you still have questions, I'd be happy to talk to you, or anybody on staff here would love to help you, because these gifts are listed, the supernatural gifts, listed in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We believe that they still function in the church today, that we actually need God's help to empower us to be witnesses for Jesus and to live a godly life. Okay, it isn't just about, hey, look at me, you know, I've got these supernatural gifts. It's not about that. It's about magnifying Jesus Christ, reflecting him. It's about the confirmation of the gospel of Jesus. It's about being able to live a godly life, to be empowered spiritually, so that if you have some sort of a sinful habit that has you entangled, Hebrews talks about, you know, being so easily ensnared or trapped. That might be you. You might be in a place where there's something, you know, in your life and you just haven't been able to let go of it. Guess what? The power of the Spirit wants to come even today and help you let that go so you can walk in step with the Spirit. I referenced this verse a week or two ago, Galatians 5:16. This is so awesome. I mean, if this is true, this is awesome. Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So there's the key. Ask God's Spirit to come, to deliver you, to transform you, to help you. It was right after that that Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. Walk in step with the Spirit. So as we bring this thing in for a landing today, let me just share a story with you. Some of you might know Max Lucado. He's a pastor and a teacher, and I love the way he writes. I love the way he talks. Have you ever listened to him, Max Lucado? He shared this story once. said this: one New Year's Day in the Tournament of Roses parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit. It was out of gas. The whole parade was held up until someone could get a gas can. The amusing thing was that this float represented the Standard Oil Company with its vast oil resources. Its truck was out of gas. I think sometimes Christians get out of gas when all around them is the power of the Spirit of God. And all they have to do is ask. You see, the filling of the Holy Spirit, I don't think it's just this one-time event. I said it's an event that happens subsequent to salvation, but I believe you can be refilled. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, said this: do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, the word filled is a verb, and in the Greek, there's many verb tenses, more than we have in English. One of the verb tenses they have is called the continuous present. So this verse could be translated, keep on being filled. Don't get drunk on wine. That leads to debauchery. Instead, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then probably my favorite verse about the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 11. This will be the last one we'll look at together today. The words of Jesus, he said this in Luke 11, 9 to 13. He said, so I say to you, so this is the instructions of Jesus to you, even today, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. So stop there for a second. The verbs ask, seek, and knock, guess what verb tense they are in the Greek? The continuous present. Jesus is saying, this is what I'm telling you. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And then I love what he said next. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And then Jesus' mind there sort of switches to the Holy Spirit. And he says this: which of you fathers, if your sons ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, God wants to give you the Holy Spirit. One prerequisite: you got to ask. You got to ask. So as the worship team comes back, let me just ask you one final question. How many of you feel like you could use a refreshing, a spiritual refreshing, like a refilling or a refueling of God's Spirit? I need that all the time. I was on my knees this morning praying for that, because I can't do it on my own. I can't. But you have an opportunity today, Pentecost Sunday. Because one of the aspects of Jesus' ministry is he's the baptizer. And he's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's still the baptizer. I mean, can you just see it? Jesus in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And he looks down at Journey Christian Church on May 23rd, 2021. And his children, with their minds open and their hearts open and their hands open, saying, Jesus, send the Holy Spirit. Because I need power for conviction. And I need power for counsel. And I need power to witness and to live a godly life. He wants to give it to us today. One prerequisite: you have to ask. So here's how we're going to close today. I'm going to have you stand up, please, if you can. And I'm going to do it a little different. Not going to do like a closing prayer. The benediction today is a closing song with an invitation and an opportunity for you to receive a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit into your life today. So how we're going to do it is we're going to sing the Holy Spirit song, and it's a really invitational song. So if you sing the words, it's like you're inviting God's Spirit to come. Okay, but beyond that, I would also like to just encourage you, maybe do something different, maybe something you're not accustomed to, and take a step out, a change of real estate, I call it. Okay, so if you feel prompted, I don't want to coerce you. This needs to be between you and God. But sometimes there's a significant thing that happens when we take a step. So if you want to come forward, just as a sign of Lord, I'm taking a step today, and I'm asking you for a fresh filling. If you want to do that, then I'm happy to pray for you, and Sky and Brian would be happy to pray for you. There may be other prayer ministry team members here that could come and pray for you. Listen, you can receive it right where you are. You can. So if that's what you feel led, that's fine. But there's not going to be any closing prayer. What's going to happen is you get to decide when you leave. All right? So just kind of linger in the presence of the Lord. Maybe ask God for his refreshing, his filling today. And when you feel it's time to go, then you can go. If you come forward, there'll be someone to pray for you. You got it? It's a good day. It's Pentecost Sunday. And Jesus is still the baptizer.